Yo, 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 1, 2, 1, 2, what it do? It's your boy Skeeter Steve.
And Nikki B.
And welcome to another episode of Next Rounds, where we're giving it to you for the culture and by the culture. Bam, bam, bam. Oh, yes, 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 we're back. We're
yes,
back
we are.
Once again.
Yes,
with
are.
All the shits and giggles.
Okay.
Yeah, man. You know, it's been quite a week. You
it
know
has.
What I'm saying? Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
How was your weekend?
Oh man, it was cool. You know, can't complain. Spent some time with my little man.
Okay.
Caught up on some PS5 because my niggas been begging me to get on the game, so I finally got on the game with my niggas one time.
Okay, what game did you get on?
That's simple, GTA, Grand Theft Auto 5, and they made me play this joint, I guess it's called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge, and I ain't gonna lie, that shit was fire.
Okay.
That shit was fire. I can't even argue, it was cool though, so, I mean... Your boy's getting back into his gamer bag.
Okay,
it's been a minute.
What's the gamer tag? Is it Skeeter Steve 87?
No, it's actually my B-boy name. For y'all don't know, or for those that do know, it's Rick James, FK, you know, my crew, Fallen Kings, coming out of Sacramento, California, you know, and Oakland and San Fran, you know, Vegas
okay,
and the Bay.
Bay Area. Okay.
Bay Area ties, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I can't complain. Shooter, what about you? How was your weekend?
My weekend was quite eventful. My mother and I, we have this thing that we do that where I take, she and I, we swap out and we go to different restaurants every weekend. And, you know, that's our little way of staying connected and everything. So that was amazing. Also, my 22 and 20 came out and we're going to be hitting the Blast concert a little bit later
that's
on.
What's up.
Her
and
my
bae,
like my sister. So that's going to be really, really dope. And, you know, I'm with my little man every day.
Right.
In the sense of that's, you know, we do the whole school thing and all that. But it was really awesome whenever we're able to, like, really get together and take off our cools and just kind of chill out and all of that deal. You know, that's always a blessing. So we're still kind of coming down from last week with the Dragon Ball Z. Did we mention that? We didn't mention
that. Oh, no, we didn't.
Nah,
yeah,
man.
Well,
it was really, really dope with all the best birthdays, festivities, and all of that good jazz. Like, Steve, my bro, my sis, like, and my boy, we all went out and saw that Dragon Ball Z movie. And that was really good.
I actually liked it.
Me as well. The thing about it with Dragon Ball Z is that we're like, well, myself, I'll, you know, like I said, guys, I always try to speak for myself. I don't really like to talk for anyone else. So with the Dragon Ball Z movies, it's just one of those. It's basically the fact that with the episodes, I feel as though that we get such a great payoff, like the way that it builds up like almost like wrestling or the soap operas for our grandmothers.
Right.
And it builds up every week with that drama, right? With Dragon Ball Z, like, especially when we used to, for my tsunami hits, I was watching it back in the 90s. Like, we really used to team. We were really waiting, like, looking at Gohan, like, training for on Planet Namek and with King Kai and Piccolo and just, like, going through the motions and everything. Well, King Kai, Goku, of course. I definitely want to stay politically correct. I don't want anyone to get it twisted in no way, shape, or
Iota.
Goku training on King Kai.
Yeah.
And, you know, Gohan taking his training from Piccolo and everything. So it's just basically, like, this is before even Vegeta became, like, a part of, like, the family.
Yeah,
like,
the squad.
He was a villain.
Like,
he was like, fuck Kakarot.
Right.
Like,
that nigga was,
you know,
evil.
He didn't give a fuck. So, like, basically, I said all of that to say, like, Dragon Ball Z has such a buildup, and it's really, really hard for these movies to supply that because we get, like, we go through the movie, like, they give us the storyline and everything, then we have to hit, like we don't even know if this is the actual climax, and then they just start fighting, and it's like, oh, it's over.
Right.
So, like, but on a positive note, for someone that has never, like, actually seen Dragon Ball Z, I know why they do the movies like that, because of the fact that they want to be able to appeal to a broader audience with people that's never seen the movies to basically be able to, like, tap in all of that deal.
Uh-huh.
But for us that's, like, really used to that whole, like, excitement of actually getting to it and the buildup and everything, it's just like, oh, it didn't supply that. And I was conscious of the fact they didn't. I'm not upset with it, but I was conscious of the fact that it didn't supply that. But that's my rant. That's what I got. And, you know, hey, we'll move over to other things. But like you said, you enjoyed it. And the fact that they introduced the characters and kind of allowed the old characters to take on bigger roles, right?
No, absolutely. And just seeing you know, Gohan tap into really his full potential because, you know, not even story though, but throughout the storyline, Gohan is the strongest out of all of them. But, you know, then as he got older, mom wanted him to be in school, so he stopped training. Got him a little girl, got him a little wife, a little kid. So, I mean, I get it, though. But, like, you know, like in this movie, he snapped. And that's what I wanted to see. Finally, okay. I wanted to see that. And it was great to see that. And also, too, the movie, it gives a premonition where when the next season of Dragon Ball Super comes out, you know, we're going to see where it's going to go. Like what we said, you know, new characters. And then another thing that I like, you know, having Broly actually becoming a good guy and actually training the conversion training with Goku and Vegeta, because, you know, in a past timeline, you know, he was evil.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
Broly was he really wasn't, you know, he wasn't the good
guy. That nigga was not friendly.
No, he was real ruthless, you know.
At all though. So I mean it was dope though. So I mean I can't wait for it. You know, just can't wait for next season to see what they do. All right, before we get into our culture commentary, we got an honorable mention. You know, like we always do, we always got to hit y'all with an honorable mention for, you know, for anybody that's doing something for the culture and by the culture. So, I mean, we love it. So, this week's honorable mention is going to be none other than the icon, the GOAT, Snoop Dogg.
Okay.
Gets an animated series with Doggyland on a children's series on YouTube. I like that. He has launched a brand new animated series called Doggyland, and you can check out all the episodes. Like, he got a couple of episodes out on YouTube, but it's dope, though, where his cartoon dog name is Bow Wizzle, and he voiced it, you know, in regards of the kids teaching them preschool, going over topics as colors, animals, emotions, hygiene, accepting others for more, and, I actually got a chance to, like, you know, to check it out though, and I ain't gonna lie, it was pretty dope though. So I mean, like,
hell yeah.
Yeah, this is dope though, you know, seeing Snoop, you know, tapping in and actually doing something for the kids, because we know kids is everything. Kids is the future. So for him to go that low to the preschool, you know, going with the colors, with the head, shoulders, knees, and toes. Like, come on now. We were all kids before, so we know all this shit. So, I mean, it was just dope, though, man.
It's very, very necessary. And with Snoop being a grandfather, I definitely understand the necessity for him to step into that role of being, you know, the big homie. And I appreciate him for doing that, because so many people run away from that level of responsibility, but that's exactly what we're supposed to be doing as we get older. We're supposed to really be watering the flowers and, you know, watering the seeds, I should say, for him to grow into this productive human being. So I really, really love this one. Like, there's a lot of things that kind of goes on, and it's like, oh, okay, take my hat off to that
one. Right, right.
But this one definitely took my hat to Snoop, because I, too, watched some of the clips up from this.
Uh-huh.
And I really thoroughly enjoyed what they were talking about as far as emotional intelligence and just really being more in touch with how you feel and why you feel that way. Because that's one of the things that doesn't get enough attention. And
absolutely.
My personal opinion, we are, like, taught so much on, like, oh, okay, like, oh, you're mad, you're sad, get over it, or whatever. Right. Our feelings are minimized. Mm-hmm. But if we're starting from square one and, like, actually building from, you know, a solid foundation from day one, it just really, like, it alleviates a whole lot of strife that you got to kind of unlearn later on in life. So definitely huge shout outs to the SNOOP,
right,
on everything that he's doing, and we really appreciate you, man.
Oh no, yeah, absolutely though. So, you know, round of applause, shout out, salute, you know, to Uncle Snoop, you know what I'm saying, here at Lace Rhymes. You appreciate it and we love you. All right, let's get into this culture commentary for this week. It was a lot of spiciness, so I mean, we're gonna get into it. Starting off, Jay Prince Wembley defends Carl Crawford in the midst of the Megan Thee Stallion label drama.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, Jay Prince had came to the defense of Carl Crawford. If y'all don't know who he is, he's the CEO, Houston-based record label of 1501 Certified Entertainment. And he was the one, before Meg had got her other deals and whatnot, he was the one that signed her first. So, you know, he went on Tuesday night, you know, pretty much heading on Instagram with a picture of them, and you know, and the truth is that Carl Discover developedly and fully financed Meg Thee Stallion early in her career, which led to a life of changing distribution agreement for her with 300 Entertainment. From the agreement, you know, Jay Prince said, from entering these agreements inconsistent with her contract, falsely claiming publishing shades that belong to 1501, failing to notify the account or to pay an exhilarating revenue, releasing albums, outtakes, and previous release material, falsing that claim that she was out of her contract, and now falsely alleging that 1501 leaked her album, which the album was intended to be released anyway on August 19th, and which the leak actually hurt 1501 as much as, if not more than Megan, rendering her claim to be suspicious and nonsensical. This been going on for a long time, though, but this goes back, yo, Meg, can't blame nobody but yourself. Gotta okay. get your paper right. Gotta get it right. And then you try to leave that and then go into another deal, which now not only you own one person, you're owing two now. So you're owing 1501, Carl. And now you owing the folks over there at 300 as well.
So let me, just so I can make this clear, you know, like from my understanding or anybody else listening, you know, just those that may or may not, you know, just kind of have caught it. Basically, that album that she released,
yep.
it was not, they didn't know anything about that being released.
Yeah. Well, yeah, she tried to say that
what was that, the Traumazine or something?
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't know shit about Traumazine coming?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They didn't know, but she tried to make it seem like as if they did, but they really didn't. And going back to what we said in the statement, it hurted him more than Meg. So, I mean, because you got to think about it, you know, with the record labels. Let's just put a comparison like this. The president, the White House. You got the president. The president is a face, so Meg is a face. So behind that, you know, have the House and the Senate, where, you know, it's like the producers, the DJs, the engineers, the people who run the labels, the A&R, and then the person who's head of the table. So the person at the head of the table, which was Carl, he didn't have no clue or any nature of that of, because when she did the deal with 300, she don't talk to this man. She don't have no ties. So it's like you can't even be civil when it comes to business. So you didn't even let this person know that, you know, you was dropping your album. So
how the hell were they supposed to, like, plan for any type of marketing or anything
exactly.
like that?
Exactly, yeah.
But, feel as though that this was, like, one of those situations where she was just trying to, like, drop a project so she can get out of her deal faster?
You know what? I think so. I want to say, okay, well, I'm 50-50 with it. One half, yes, and the other half, no, because I feel like she was being petty.
Okay.
Yeah, that part being petty. So, I mean, that's
yeah, because it wasn't like any type of big singles were like released or anything like that, but it's real weird, and I hate when emotions kind of cloud the lines of like actual business because of the fact of things that, you know, kind of come out. It's really, really hard when creative artists are actually forced to take, you know, have to take a stance and
yeah.
take on the hat of like something that someone else is supposed to do, like to become an A&R or
right.
record executive or mm-hmm. something of that nature. So I really, really hate that because it takes away from the whole creative process. But as we rated the previous episode, that album was like really trash. So
yeah.
for her to like do that and then for it to be like, you know, it's like that, of course, like, yeah, you know, 1501 record label, people still streamed it. If it's under you, you're still gonna get paid, maybe not as much as if
right.
it's properly marketed. But on another case, it's like it ultimately hurts her. I personally feel it,
because
it hurts her legacy as an artist, because mm-hmm. it was bullshit. It wasn't good music, it was horrible.
Yeah.
It's another thing, and it's like she's really, in my opinion, like, you know, and I'm sure a lot of others that know and could kind of like witness people like climbs and fall off. This is like really more so the beginning of her end.
Yeah, because she's coming very repetitive.
Hell yeah. If she doesn't change anything soon, because it's
right.
the same thing like they say about the baby.
Yeah.
Like the baby's flow, it's fucking Sierra Mist, Sprite, and fucking 7-Up. It's all the fucking same, right?
Right.
So it's like if she doesn't change anything else, like she's going to fucking be fucking Dr. fucking Thunder, fucking Mr. Pibb, and Dr. Pepper. Like she's going to be that. Like,
right.
you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's not like any type of like, oh my God, you get that new Meg. It's not going to be like acclaimed. Like
right.
no one's going to be looking for it. And you're doing this shit to yourself. So good luck. If you just want to like good time, or you know, this is the thing with certain artists, is like if you want it for to be for a good time or you want it to be for a long time. And in my personal opinion, I feel like even though she has the intelligence to actually be here for a long time, mm-hmm. she's really riding this shit and treating her fucking career like a trap house. Like, nah, she's yeah. trying to get what she can while she can. Nah, so, yeah. like, you know, I don't know. Like, with as far as the contracts and yeah. everything that goes behind the scene, we all know that Jay Prince, like, he definitely is a stepper. He doesn't come out and, like, talk about shit that doesn't necessarily concern him. So, for him to come out and say something about it, that definitely is, you know, cause for some sort of concern. But he's been standing with Carl Crawford for, you know, since the beginning of all this.
Yeah,
with the
absolutely.
Rock Nation
yeah.
situation yeah. of saying, like, nah, you know, he would stand up. He put yeah. her on. And, you know, now she's getting a bigger name. And you start getting these other, like, production companies. And they, you know, like, oh, no, your contract, this is wrong. This is wrong about your contract. And all of that kind of deal. But it's like, this is the person that actually, like, we wouldn't have gotten, like, fucking Cognac Queen and, right. what was that shit that, what was our big-ass break?
Big old freak.
Big yeah, old freak. We wouldn't have got that. We wouldn't have gotten
right,
none of
exactly.
We wouldn't have Tina Snow
yeah,
without
exactly.
that. So they, you wouldn't be at the Rock Nation brunches and all of that stuff.
None
like
of
that.
That.
But, again, we're not in those rooms. We're not there. So no speculation on this side. We just say, hey, you know, make sure that you know what you're doing before you do it.
Right, and get your paper right.
Get your paperwork right. You know, get it all right.
Right, get it all right. All right, next up, you know, I like this one. This one, I was like, yeah. DJ Drama wants all the Versus smoke with DJ Khaled. Nobody's outperforming me. DJ Drama has said he wants to smoke as far as a Versus battle going. He believes he could defeat DJ Khaled and, in a face-off. He was asked this question recently, not too long ago, on the Royal Mall podcast. They asked him, who wins, you or versus Khaled? Drama replies, how about we just do it and just see who wins? You could throw anybody in the mix and let's see who wins. I want all the smoke. And when it comes down to a versus, like what? I got a lot of cultural records. I am not to be underestimated. You know what? I ain't mad at him. I mean, Khaled, he does it seem though, but this is just my take and my opinion. Khaled, you ain't fucking with Drama, bro.
No. Like
you ain't fucking with Drama.
I really, really remember this moment like it was fucking yesterday. My best friend and I, we were out in New York, and this was kind of shortly after the Major Key album had dropped.
Mm-hmm.
And we're riding from like getting an Uber from like the Whole Foods. I only mentioned that just because of the moment. That's what it was. That's what we were doing. We had to live that, as the words of fucking Aubrey Graham. We had to live that moment. So we're riding in New York from fucking in an Uber from fucking Whole Foods or whatever the case may be. And I like asked her, I'm like, hey, you know, who'd you take over, DJ Khaled or DJ Drama? And her and Uber driver unapologetically like both said at the same time, I didn't even know this nigga was listening, Drama. And it was just like, hell yeah, Drama.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
Without a fucking question. Because the thing is, like, with Khaled, don't get me wrong, he gives us like really good hits. He gives us tunes. We get the top 40, and we might every now and then get like a real like raw like street trap song.
Mm-hmm.
But DJ Drama supplies that on a consistent basis. From like the fucking Call Me If You Get Lost
yeah.
to like, and that's the Call Me If You Get Lost, that's just like a real minimal track. But
man,
he even
amazing.
Did that. He even did like, I'm like, as far as like his history,
Gangsta
Grills, you bastards.
Man,
like,
Gangsta
we
Grills.
we can't forget that. But then also like even down to the Laugh Now Cry Later, no like the what was the one with him and Drake and fucking not Post Malone, fuck, forgive me. What's the kid's name?
Jack Harlow.
And I promise
yeah.
you, I wasn't saying that shit to be funny. I'm just really that disconnected and not removed from these people. But the Jack Harlow, that was a Drama track. Like,
yeah.
And like Drama, he's just really like, I personally feel like he's a lot more tapped in. I don't know what Khaled does on a lot of things. And hey, we love Khaled, or you don't love Khaled, or you feel like whatever. But Drama, like, I got my money on him when it comes down to like the Jeezy and being able to pull all that out and everything we were getting like in that time frame. Like,
oh no, yeah,
hell
absolutely,
yeah,
yeah.
It's Drama.
No, yeah, absolutely. And I do give it up to Khaled.
Yeah.
You know, I have to give it up a credit because I mean, he got his early start, you know, in the early days of the 90s of Miami on the bass scene. And then not only that, hooking up with Fat Joe, becoming a part of the Terror Squad was like, you know, mm-hmm. in the early days. And then after he did his thing with the Terror Squad, you know, get with Ace Hood and a couple of these people.
And also Cash Money, you know, he was Cash down there Money. With them.
Too. Yeah, yeah. So, and I mean, like, you're getting all these projects from him, and then, you know, he sort of started branching out and just started doing his thing now. Like, if it's a 20 for 20, yeah, I got Drama, because Drama, he got way too much in the arsenal. Yeah. And not only that, though, too, like, if they really did that, majority of the fans, they're going to want to hear all the Gangsta Grill shit from Wayne, all the dedications, like, easily. Yeah.
Easy
money.
He's smoking him easily.
Yeah, easy
money. It's like
money.
The second that Khaled brings out a fucking well, it's fucking over. Like, nobody wanted, like, that was cool. That was cool for fucking commercial radio, for FM radio, but that wasn't anything that niggas is playing in the strip clubs or anything like that. So, you know, that one kind of goes without saying. I personally feel like it will be Drama easy, but, you know, this week we'll go ahead and throw up something. We'll figure out something real jazzy to throw out on a story on Instagram, Lace Rhymes. And you guys let us know what your thoughts on that. We definitely care to hear what you guys
Right, please.
Think
so let
that.
Us know. Definitely. Yeah, definitely let us know. All right. Moving on. OG DJ Clue Bless. Today's off of rap because some of these songs be ABC rhyme patterns. So he went on Twitter the other day revealing that he is not a fan of some of the music that's being produced today. He offered some advice to those making music in the modern era. A lot of these records would be better if the rappers took a pen and pad and wrote their raps down. And he also went on to say some of these songs is A, B, and C, and they're awful. The fuck, there are many rappers who pride themselves on writing lyrics down and creating hits off the top, but the most famous being Jay-Z and Lil Wayne, but not every artist had the capacity to do this. Now, I agree, but also disagree with that. I agree, yeah, because, you know, we do have a lot of these rappers that's out that, you know, their rhyme patterns be rhyming off beat or whatnot, or even just making songs short enough. I get it. If it's not for you, it's not for you. And some people may like that. Like, for me, I like some of it, but not all of it.
Not all of it.
But also, I'm a disagree because, to me, you're not tapped in. And what I mean by tapped in, mean Clue. Have you heard of Cordae? Have you heard of Denzel Curry? Have you heard of Villain Park from L.A.?
Have you heard of J.I.D.?
I mean, they're all rappers, bro.
You can't really necessarily, and that's the thing about people kind of generalizing and saying, like, oh, today's music. That's the same thing. Like, I don't feel as though that we touched on it because it was just one of those rants. But with Puff Daddy or Diddy basically saying that R&B is
dead. Yeah, about
the
R&B thing. Yeah,
and
it's
like, it's so much, like, my favorite type of R&B, like, and I'm listening to so much current R&B. Like, I really am. Like, it's just so many people, like, really doing their thing. Like, fucking Destin Conrad. I just really enjoy, like, a lot of the music that's coming out right now. But I'm more of, like, an alternative R&B type of head. Like, I really, really enjoy that. Like a Nick Harmon and all of that. Like,
man,
we could really crack open these playlists and really go on for days because it's just so many of them. But I just feel though, like, with a lot of them, they because of the fact that they don't necessarily have their hand in the production or in all of it, it's kind of almost like a biased type of situation.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's why I want to make sure that we're being clear and concise. Like, yeah, don't get me wrong. Do I want to hear an R&B singer just pretty much, bitch, you didn't give me the pussy, you know, just really going super vulgar?
Right.
No, I don't.
Right.
But at the same token, they're not all doing that either.
Right.
So
you
can't box them in. And that's the same thing with this statement. Yeah,
with
it's
this
like
statement.
Shit. It was fuck music going on back then. It was like when DJ Clue was doing his thing with Rockefeller and all of that kind of situation, you had different music going on at that time too. So you can't sit there and just try to be a purist about it's fuck music that comes in
every
fucking decade, in every age. So it's like we've always known that, because at the time, like right now, like we appreciate Outkast, right?
Yeah.
We appreciate Outkast. We appreciate State's Property, you know, and all of those that's actually, but at the same time, for someone that's actually, like, I remember going back and forth, like, in high school with a particular somebody on who was more lyrical versus, like, you know, Lil Wayne or Common and shit. And it was just like,
they're both dope.
They're both dope. No, and they're both dope. But at the same time, you know, we both stood on two different sides of the fucking plateau.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was just like, I couldn't understand where he was coming from, and he couldn't understand where I was coming from. And, you know, I'm sure you guys could use your imagination on probably where I stood on it. But it's just the point of, you know, it's something in every generation.
Absolutely.
So you can't sit there and single it out. Like, Outkast is appreciated by us right now. But was Outkast appreciated in fucking real time against the Diplomats?
No,
hell no.
No,
everybody
wasn't.
Was motherfucking putting on their fucking bandanas.
Double, triple XL jersey.
Hell yeah, and their leather jackets.
Timbo boots, swearing that they're from New
flags,
York.
Cutting up the jeans, putting up flags. I remember you guys.
Right.
So
I'd be like, yo, B, what's up, son?
What's up, son? You know,
come
all
on,
of that.
Come on,
like,
now.
No. What's real good? What's good?
Right, what's good?
What's really good?
What's really good,
you know,
B?
All that shit. So it's like, now we can't really sit there and, like, just single out. It's like, don't get me wrong. Yeah, it's a lot of fuck shit. And it's all about where you choose to put your attention in your area. It's like, as opposed to complaining about it, like, I feel like he should put more on the spotlight that's actually doing the right thing.
Right, right. No, yeah, exactly. And that's why I named the artist that I named. So I'm all like, bro, like, it just made me feel like you're not tapped in. You may not have to like a lot of this shit, though, but, bro, just respect it a little bit. And you already know, hip-hop always been a young man's game, though, but now where we're getting to the point of hip-hop, it's a generation. There's an age bracket for everybody and for everyone. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, you still have some that who appreciate the art and who, you know, who like to spit and like be on that bar shit. So, I mean, yo, take it for what it is, man.
Yeah, you get some rapping ass niggas and then you get some capping ass niggas. But it's up to us to like really like, which takes us into our next and, you know, final topic of the day. But just to preserve the culture, like TDE's, what exactly is Punch's role over there? Is he like pretty much like, I want to say CEO?
Yeah, like a co-president.
Yeah,
yeah,
he's
with,
president,
yeah, with
vice
top.
President.
Yeah,
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 he's up
top.
There. He's,
yeah.
You know, he's connected. You know, yeah. You know TDE, you know Punch. Y'all know Punch. But Punch basically said we better start protecting hip-hop culture in a recent tweet. And which, you know, we really do.
Mm-hmm.
We really, really do, because it's just a lot of fuck shit going on. And it's not just the point on ethnicity, because I feel as though that hip hop is just transcends and
yes,
a sense
absolutely.
Of
absolutely.
All of us is it really is a sense of us actually being connected and have an appreciation for the actual culture. So I don't go there with it. I'm going in a sense of basically when we get into culture vultures like such as this whole FM Mecca situation, and just the fact that we have so many people that wants to actually like just really suck and be parasites on the culture, yet they really and they don't contribute shit. They don't contribute anything. It's like, for instance, and I know you guys we've talked about this subject before, but Steve and I, we just really like we really like, it's one of those things that we're extremely conscious of, is the fact that you come in contact with artists like, say, a Jay Worthy or whatever the case may be.
Absolutely, man.
Where constantly dropping the N-bomb, constantly just like really, you know, capping on the fact of, oh, I'm from Compton, and, you know, truly you're from Canada. You're not even really a U.S. citizen. Like,
that
you're
part,
a fucking alien in a sense. But it's not even like this isn't totally like, we're just really like, I'm just referencing that in the sense of people that just really want to expose all the trauma that goes on within the culture rather than trying to build it up. Like, you know, we want to talk about selling drugs. We want to talk about pimping hoes. We want to talk about killing niggas and all this type of situation. But it's like, it's one thing when we do it from within and it's actually someone that's actual product of that community and product of their environment.
Yes.
But it's another when somebody chooses to like really come and want to just cap on all of these dysfunctions and imbalances within our culture and just capitalize on that shit. And it's like, it really needs to be exposed on a higher light. And we got to become more conscious of that shit, because this is, you know, with all of us, we come together collectively and we listen to certain tunes and we can relate. We understand this is the shit we come from. But it's like, ultimately, when you have somebody as an outsider and you hear people like Bone Thugs and Harmony and you hear these artists that come forward and just broke free and talk and do these type of interviews and they go against the grain about the fact that these execs have fucking vested interests and privately pay for prisons and shit like that, and the fact that they're dropping these records and everything to personally capitalize on the culture and just really create a streamline of putting people of color and people of this culture in behind bars and making them just a true, you know, product of their environment, a true stereotype. It's like, we can't continue to just really stand back and, you know, play for this. And that's why you got to appreciate groups like Public Enemy. You got to appreciate the KRS-One's. You got to appreciate those that actually
attempted to the Most Deaf, Satali, the Dead Presidents, Jurassic Five. Y'all got to appreciate these light bringers, the Commons. Cole, Kendrick,
Tribe Called Quest. You gotta appreciate them.
We can keep going.
We can go on this one for days, but we're gonna go ahead and tighten it up just a little bit, just for, you know, your ears' sake. But we just want to say, like, we got to do a little bit better on just really protecting the culture and understanding calling shit out for what it is. It's like, yeah, we all have our own different type of preferences and personal opinion, but we all understand and have the natural born instinct of intuition of understanding what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong.
Absolutely.
And when we get into a fucking, you know, avatars and artificial intelligence that want to sit there and talk about fucking killing people and all of this kind of shit, and I don't give a fuck what it is. I don't care if it's a black man behind a voice, if it's a white man. It's just like, you're sitting here like,
they're playing you.
The fact that Capitol Records thought that they ate with a fucking multi-million-dollar contract to give this shit to a fucking AI, like, as if this shit was groundbreaking. It's like, nah, man.
It wasn't.
It's wild. It's beyond me, but we have to do, I'll step on out there on a branch of saying that a lot of people know Boys in the Hood that listens to this pod knows Furious Styles, but we really got to fucking start, like, really freeing our minds in the sense of really recognizing what's the bigger plan and what's really kind of lays before us and our babies, like the little ones, what they're laying out before our children and just basically the next generation on all of this music. And yeah, you know, hey, they like that. They like getting sturdy. They like clapping their hands. They like all that shit. But we really, as the guardians, and yeah, you know, our parents, like, I can't even, it's at this point, like, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of shit, fucked up shit that, you know, I can be like, oh, my mom's generation, da 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 da.
Right.
But one of the things is that those niggas didn't introduce this shit to us. They didn't introduce, like, we're really at the beginning of, like, the gangster rap type of generation.
Right.
My mom, like, she played the Chronic, the first one, and all that shit, don't get me wrong. But for the most part, I was raised on oldies. I was raised on the Stylistics, the Dramatics, the Delphonics, the Moments, things of that nature. So, like, a lot of that shit was just really, like, love music and actual, like, articulation and vocabulary on actually, like, conveying their feelings. It was definitely a sense of artistry that was really required in order to make music in those times. But now, you know, with our generation, like, yeah, you know, the floodgates have kind of opened up.
They have.
And when you, the thing, when we say yes to shit,
right,
we got to think about all the things we're saying no to. And when we say no to something, we got to think about all the things we're saying yes to. And that's one of my biggest philosophies. I know I drop those things every now and then on these episodes. But with that, we got, with the music that's coming through right now, we got to really sit back and understand where and understand how much of this shit we want to give light to. And how much of that we want to, you know, give praises to and attention to, because it's really coming to our detriment. And that's my shit. Yeah. I'll go on and
sit
back.
Hey, no, you good. I like that. You talked your shit. I like that. No, definitely like that, though. So it's just all like, you know, you guys, when y'all, I ain't got to say too much because, you know, Nikki already said it, man, you know. Like, you know, you get in a position, you know, where you can make records or whatever, though. Do what you can, though. But just at the end of the day, don't let these motherfuckers play you, because you know they will, you know. And if you have opportunity, and if you feel like you're willing to risk it all and bet on yourself, nigga, bet on yourself and go independent.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Do it your way.
Like, do it your own way, and I ain't mad at that.
We can't get upset about that, but it's our problem is it's just basically, like, when we're constantly met with people not of the culture looking to come in and capitalize off the culture.
And speaking of that, next up on a person, you know, capitalized not only on hip-hop culture, but culture, period. Mike Tyson and the movie drama, and I just love that what he said when he went on Instagram and said, "Don't let Hulu fool you. I don't support their story about my life. It's not 1822. It's 2022. They stole my life and story, and they didn't pay me. To Hulu executive, I'm just a nigga that they can sell on an auction block."
He didn't say nigga.
Oh yeah. Oh.
He used the R. He used the stars and the hard R.
Yeah.
You guys, I just want you guys to know that part, because Uncle Mike is, I won't say furious, but he's really upset.
Nah, for real though. But you know, we're to the point. I love the point where, you know, you got people in the culture, you know, just stepping out on the women, supporting them, and, you know, whatever, you know, say how y'all want to feel about Dana White. They offered Dana White, you know, $2 to $3 million to do, you know, try to speak about Mike Tyson and his likeness. Dana, he turned it down because he said, "Mike's my friend, Mike's my homie. So if Mike says no, nigga, I'm not doing it." So, I mean, I respect that. And it's like, how can you take somebody's story and their likeness, but don't have no creative control? No say so, none whatsoever. So y'all just really pretty much, y'all made a bio just off of interviews and stuff that y'all saw what he was going through, but not actually speaking and sitting down and talking to the man. And Hulu, I fucks with y'all, but y'all was whack for that one.
Like, oh, whack real. As fuck. Yeah. Mike caught them slave masters. Like,
for real.
Yeah.
No, y'all was super whack though, but I'm just happy where, you know, everybody is coming, like, you know, full support, you know, in regards to this, in this situation, like, you know, when it comes to Mike, because, you know, next to Muhammad Ali, I think we could all say, like, you know, people Mike, consider yeah. Mike as, like, you know, one of the GOATs, one of the greatest boxers of all time. So, you know, I definitely appreciate that, where everybody is just, you know, just coming
in solidarity.
Definitely. All right. Next up, we got these sneakers.
Yeah.
Man. Oh, man. Y'all had some polls for these ones, man. Starting off first, the Clock Jordan Delta 2 Flint. I'm not feeling these. And on the poll, we had a lot of y'all said that y'all would rather drop these than the cops. So, I mean, I'm not mad about
75, it. 75-25.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Joining the Dunk High and the Air Jordan 5 Low, Edison Chan Clock and Jordan Brand will also be releasing a collaborative take on the Jordan Delta 2. So this shoe, it features a 3M reflective navy textile overlays with a flint gray in the rear, university blue accent with a leather toe overlay instead of the tongue, Asian influence clock branding and hashtags to add a top to react the sole and a special packaging to complete its design. So those are going to be coming out September 2nd, pretty much Labor Day weekend, though. But honestly, those are a super pass for me. Like, they got that shoe just all over the place. Like, really, really all over the place. And I'm not feeling that, like, at all. So, I mean, I get what they were trying to do, but I'm all like, I'm all like, really? Like, really? This is what y'all doing? Like,
when it comes down to, like, say, the Delta 2s or... You know, I know we got a lot of smoke on those Jordan 6 rings last week. Also, that stirred up. That couple buttons. That kind of drilled out a couple nerves and everything. And for everybody that weighed in on that, right, like, thank you for that.
We definitely appreciate that.
Those that felt it or those that came and spoke their truth on that. But it was interesting.
And that just lets me know I can't buy no pair of 6 rings because ain't nobody going to date me.
Oh, yeah, that's I'm telling you, the ladies definitely, the ladies came out in droves on that one. It was like, hell no. They all share my sentiments, and I appreciate you, my sisters. We all stood in unity.
Right.
You know,
y'all just came out the bushes like,
Y'all didn't even think we look at that. Y'all thought we was looking at other things. Like, y'all thought we want high value men. Like, hell no, we want niggas that know how to dress.
Right.
Like, well, niggas that know how to match their clothes. Like, we wasn't tripping on, like, all the shit Kevin Samuels was saying. We were like, okay, man. All right, cool.
No, yeah, so,
but does he know the difference between a Jordan 6 ring and a Jordan 6?
And
no.
Fellas, I'm going to tell y'all right now. I'm going to tell y'all certain shoes y'all can't get caught dead in. You can't get caught dead in the Jordan 6 rings. You can't get caught dead in the Dove Zeros. You can't get definitely caught dead in the Spizikes, and you can't get caught dead in the Jordan Fusions. You get caught dead in any of those four shoes, bro. Head for the hills, bro.
Now you're just a statistic in the words of my boy Bill Bellamy. But right. It's just, it's hey, but with this one, my brother and I, we were discussing this. And we were discussing the fact that how would it, like, with Claude, okay, like, Claude has done the Sakais and
Air Max Ones.
And don't get me wrong. Like, I like the Claude Air Max Ones, and I like the Sakais. Yeah, I do. Those are two of my personal favorites. Fire. And, you know, they did what they did.
Mm-hmm.
But the deal is, it's like, okay, we had a, like, brief discussion on the fact of, like, for instance, if they were to give someone, like, a Travis Scott a Jordan 6 ring, how would that go over? Like, do you think that niggas would, like, go on ahead and cap on it?
I wouldn't.
No. No, like, we got to go on ahead and be a little bit subjective and objective. Give me a second, Steve. Let me build this one up a little bit.
All right.
Okay, so if Travis Scott did, like, a Jordan 6 ring collab, just like, you know, everybody had a lot of smoke about the Jordan 2s once upon a time, right?
Yeah.
Then we had, you know, the great Virgil come out with an off-white Jordan 2, and then they became just a little bit more palatable to people's taste buds, to their taste buds for the sneaker palette.
Yeah, I see where you're going with this now.
This is the thing that I'm saying. Okay, like, it's very, very interesting when you're given, like, say, a Jordan 1. That's kind of almost like an easy flip for a collab for a Travis Scott or Off-White or what have you, Ambush. But when you're given these more difficult sneakers that people aren't really holding to, like, some type of form of, like, echelon or some type of top tier, I feel like that's where the challenge comes.
Yeah.
So when it comes into it, I would like, though, this one right here, like, fuck these shoes. Like, these shoes are fucking trash. Like,
no, they are.
Toss those shits in the garbage. They're done.
Them dumpster juices.
Like, those are horrible. But I would like to see more of some of the challenges, and I feel like that'll bring out more of the, like, the purists on the fact of, like, because I didn't give a fuck. Like, those Off-White 2s, they weren't the worst. Like, but still, I still stood on the fact that I fuck with 1. Okay. 3 through 9. Okay. I fuck with 11 through 14. Like, I really fuck with 1 through 14. I just don't fuck with 2s and 10s. They're just really not my personal favorites. And I stand on that. I'm cool on that. But I see where people kind of, like, compromise that based on who and what attaches it and what's the hype behind it.
Right.
So, in the sense of, like, the Delta 2s, if we get someone such as a Travis Scott or,
Drake.
No, Drake's shoes are ass.
Didn't like the OVO collections?
Like, when he kind of went into some of, like, the, like, what did he have? Did he have some 11s? I know those 10s. I still stand.
He has some 12s, though, too.
He has, like, Drake shoes, Drake, and even down to those, what was those fucking Air Maxes that he came
them
out?
Oh, them little white stealth.
Those are horrible. Those fucking look like feelers to me. I did not like them at all. I didn't, like, Drake, like, you go to different people for different shit. Yeah. You don't go to Drake for fashion. Let's just keep that a buck. Like, even down to Jay-Z, like, we all love Jay-Z, but you don't go to Jay-Z for, like, fashion like that. You don't. Like, how many of you niggas still got y'all S dots? I'll wait. Steve, did you partake in that S dot wave?
Oh, hell no, I didn't.
Okay, did you?
Besides, there were 2 for $60 at the Foot Locker, and I told my mama, no, I'm not wearing those.
Did you have the G units?
Mm-mm.
You didn't have the G hell units no. either? Did you have a G unit beaner?
Nope.
You
nope,
didn't have that?
I didn't. I wasn't a fan of that.
No, like, in all honesty, it's just certain ways that you happy that you didn't participate on for any of those niggas that ever got caught in 4K or 2K from that point, because it's like the camera megapixels was fucking whack at that time. Right. We had the Motorola's, the Hello Motos. But no, y'all are so fucking lucky that we don't have access to our MySpaces right now, because
I lost my password, and you lucky.
Y'all are you so lucky. Lucky because if I were to able to pull up any of you niggas in those G-Unit beaters, I would definitely have all the jokes in the world right now, because those motherfuckers shouldn't have never been surfaced. But those G-Unit sneakers...
Terrible.
Those motherfuckers.
Oh my god. Awful.
Those were awful. I think the only thing that came from that was those that rare dish at Kanye West one. And that was only because, you know, we know about, you know, Mr. West. But at the same time, like, those SDOTs, I don't want to get away from the point, but it's just certain people you don't go to for certain shit. Just like, you know, you got some of these, like, you know, lady influencers that do the perfume and all that shit. If you know, you know, and you know not to fuck with it. It's not, that's not something that you just fuck with. So just because somebody puts their name on it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be automatic heat. But I'm just wondering, and I'm wondering with all of you guys also, in the sense that if, say, for instance, a Travis Scott or some type of big name, an Ambush, or even the Off-White camp ends up taking some of taking on some of these difficult sneakers, how would you guys feel more so about that? So going with that, we had those clots, and like I said, pretty much those were like ass. But 75% said drop, 25% said cop. You guys go check it out yourself and see if that's something that you guys rock. Especially with today's sneaker market, I highly just suggest that you guys go for the Air Jordan 13 Flint, because I don't feel like they're that difficult to get. But if you guys want to prove me wrong and, you know, go against the grain, then be my fucking guest in the name of Beauty and Beast. We're going on to the next one. Go ahead.
Next up, you know what? I'm kind of mad about this one.
Okay, explain that.
And the reason why I'm mad about this one, because this sneaker is just so fucking dope. We have a Reebok Question Low in a black and white patent toe. But the only sucky part is about this, fellas, we can't get it. It's in grade school. So, I mean, it's honestly, it's really for the ladies.
Some of the big kids and some of my guys with smaller feet. Don't hate that. Don't hate the player, Steven. Hate the game.
I know.
Hate the game, because you guys get a lot of them. Like, especially those SBs and everything. Y'all get those SBs, and y'all know that, like, they start off at, like, a 7 and sometimes 8. And that really, like, that corners the market. Like, you don't really see kids in SBs. So, like, it's certain things that just kind of, especially, what was that Jordan collab? Like, not Jordan collab, but that cigar and champagne.
Hell yeah.
Those ones start at, like, a 8.
We get
caught out there, and we can't fuck with everything also, so you can't please everybody. But in this one, these were very, very, I was really excited about these. And like Steve said, they're actually going to be released really soon. We're going to be looking at, what was the release date that you had on these? This was like on the 30th or something like that. They're coming out this week, right?
Yeah. Oh, so September 1st. September 1st.
Yeah, that's what it was.
And they're retailing at $90.
So I swear, if you guys got, I would say junior high enough, because it's still a fair amount of white on these shoes. But according to our Lace Rhymes poll that we place every Saturday at Lace Rhymes on Instagram, shameless plug. According to our poll, we got a 71-29 split on that. Mm-hmm. 71% cop, because that was an easy cop. Duh. Like, these, they're very neutral. Like I said, they're really predominantly white, but very, very clean shoe, and they're the lows too. So I feel like on the kiddos as well as the ladies, is so much that we can do with this one. So please don't miss out on this. There was a lot of different things that Reebok has been doing with the questions, and this is one of the better ones. So let's go ahead and, you know,
absolutely, man. If y'all got niggas, if y'all got girlfriends, y'all need to go ahead and cop the
might get some brownie points on this one. Rescue her. Going ahead and, you know, unleash her from the shackles of those feelers and go ahead and grab her these questions, you know? Like, going ahead and grab her these. Like, if, you know, because, shit, if you knew better, you do better.
And
for, you know, some of them that does the whole feeler thing or does these shoes that you guys want to talk so much shit about, you know, just go ahead and cop her these and show her a better way and change your life. Grab those black and white patent toes and go ahead and, you know, move her on to brighter days. But moving on to the next, these were really smooth. What'd you think about these, Steve?
I thought those, Comme des Garçons, Nike Air 97s. I thought those were, like, were very, very smooth to me. You know, they never disappointed. One shoe that I still need to go back and go get, they have some pink and black, some hyper pink Air Max 180s that they did, and them motherfuckers fire though. But the CDGs, I feel like They never disappoint me at all.
No, like, I saw you, Steven, when he came out last week for his birthday, he had the Chucks on.
Yeah, I did.
You did. Those are real essentials that you got to have. Like, mm-hmm. Those are core pieces. Like, you just have to have that in your shoe collection just because you just never know what life might take you. For these right here, they kind of reminded me as far as like the pattern on it, because it's, don't get it twisted, this is pretty much an all black Air Max 97. However, for the accents on the shoe, it gives more of that Baron. Uh-huh. You remember those Baron 11s?
Yes,
I actually have a pair of those.
Yes, I did.
But it gives more of that on these, and that was really awesome. So, you know, which gave it a little bit more of a flair rather than just being just an all black Air Max 97. I would like to see some sort of like indication of the collab somewhere. Mm-hmm. So I don't know exactly if that's maybe on the back or inside the inner sole or something like that. Right. But it would have been really fly if they would have maybe threw one of their iconic hearts on the shoe.
Oh, that'd have been really dope. I think, this also would have been dope too as well, though. But this shoe is going to be set to release sometime, like, you know, in the fall and winter of this year. So, you know, just stay up to par and stay tuned, because, you know, they always putting out crazy drops, you know, and whatnot, though. So, I mean, this might be a raffle. So hopefully y'all get lucky.
Or you guys might just be able to walk up to the line as long as you got your money in order, because that's what's going on right now. People got to pay bills. You know, these fools got bills right now. So it's like, you know, this is the time. This is the time for all sneakerheads to really go back to what we're used to on just, hey, paying the $150 or the $200 or what have you on the shoe and just doing that. And that alone is a sacrifice. So we'll see about these. That's really exciting. Moving on to the next, what we have right here is the Air Jordan Mid, the coconut milk sports spice. I'll go ahead and kick it off, and I'll tee off on this one, and I'll let Steve go ahead and do the cleanup on it. These right here are more reminiscent of those that we had, a 56% actually said cop. That's interesting. 44% said drop on these. I actually was amongst the 44% on this just because of the fact that we have some highs coming out this year also that's reminiscent of the same kind of colorway. And the highs are just a little bit jazzier, in my opinion. They actually have more definition on the heel, like on the upper sole we have more of like a brown or black there that for the highs that's coming, and I think I personally gravitated to that more. But if I seen someone in the streets with these on, I wouldn't just completely like just really minimize them or, you know, their shoes. I'm not upset with the actual shoe. I just feel as though if we're getting a high this year with the same type of colorway, when the high is just a slightly better colorway, like they did a little bit more with the details on the high, I just personally would pass on these. I feel like, in the words of Steve last week, that it's the next best thing. And I personally can't ever sign off on the next best thing. Like, it's just one of those things. The standards I got and what I said, it's like, nah, if I don't want the next best thing, I want what I want. So I'm gonna go for the highs. But these mids right here, for someone that actually like, hey, nah, I like the outline around the swoosh a little bit more on the mids than the highs, I'm not upset with you. We all got our different things, but I personally like the highs a little bit more. But Steve, go ahead.
Absolutely. With these, a reason why I said for me it would be a drop, just because the simple fact we have a high color, same exact colorway of this that's coming out. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I actually like the highs a little bit more, though. But going back again, she did call me. I mean, if y'all don't like it or if y'all can't get it, this might be
the next best thing. You, like, you know, they did the same thing with the Travis Scott. They came out. But don't get me wrong, those Mocha highs was fucking dope.
Yeah.
Those Mochas were sick. The Mochas are still actually doing numbers to this moment. Like the Mochas was like, you know, just trash or whatever. Like, some tried to like write it off like, oh, if you couldn't get the Travis Scott, you got the Mochas. But it's like, nah, the Mocha still is like a sought after pair, aside from like all the other shit that goes along with how many like fucking replicas is out there on the street.
Right.
But you know, with these right here, like I'm cool just because the Jordan brand. If they would have released these and they weren't releasing the brown one, like not the brown ones, but the highs, I would definitely kind of be a little bit more like, oh, damn, this is a pair that you might want going ahead and have to double take on, like we were saying with the mids. It's like every pair of mids aren't trash, and I'm not a mid basher. I just don't own a pair.
Right.
I just would say that, you know, some of the things that they do are distasteful. Yeah. And in this situation, it's really, really messed up that you guys would put out this mid when you guys are releasing a high, and you guys require us to have to squint a little bit harder to see which pair this person is wearing versus, you know, the same way that they do with those damn six rings. They release the Jordan, the 11, and then they drop a pair of six rings the same way. Right. And then you get these Shoe Palace employees that gets these poor parents in there that's like, oh, my kid just want the Jordans. And they go on ahead and like, oh, we're all out of those, but this is, you know, this is the next best thing. I mean, so that shit happens all the time. It's like, right. They just so happen to have these motherfuckers right there. Like, oh, well, you know, these are the shoes that everybody wants. And then the kid gets those and they're like getting clowned and shit. So it's like, nah, Jordan, you guys shouldn't have done that. But something else that Steven and I were going to be introducing to you guys, just on a real, real quick note. Is our kick pick of the week.
Yeah.
And this is actually a moment, just like the classic corner where we actually, one of us will select the moment, like a specific record or album that resonates with us. And this week actually happens to be Steven, so I'm really excited to hear him unpack his album. But as far as the actual kick pick this week, it's mine. Right. And I have the honor of actually doing it the first time, so I'm really, really excited.
Yeah, yeah, me
this
too.
Is actually the Air Max Plus, okay? Not only the Air Max Plus.
OG. Oh yeah, my sister had a pair of those back in middle school back in the day.
This one wasn't for the faint-hearted, right?
Yeah, you know? You know, that's
this
fine.
One, this right it's here. Fine.
Fine.
You see that?
Yes.
You see that? Okay.
Yes.
Because this wasn't a small feat. This was basically like over $100 retail shoe at the time when they were first released back in 1998.
Yeah.
I personally, my mother had these shoes. You're right.
Oh, wow.
My mom is like Kanye West. She's a big ass kid. Like, you know, she never grow up. So like her walking through with these shoes on and like seeing her floating in the air, it was just really so iconic to me. And then also seeing Big Boy wearing these videos in the old school plays to new school, the shrimp on a Barbie video.
Oh yeah,
man, I promise you, these right here just really, I would say, triggered. Or if they weren't actually, because like my whole life, I've always just really had a level of appreciation for sneakers. But these are actually the shoes that really sparked it. So for our visuals here, you guys see, you guys know, you guys got it. But for those that are at home, these are actually the blue Air Max Plus. And these are the OGs and the Hyper Blue. I should correct it if you guys want to get more of a visual and paint that vision in your head. But this is my kick pick of the week, the Air Max Hyper Blue Air Max Plus.
Oh no, yes, absolutely, not bad.
Yes.
That was a pretty good one.
I had to come out the gate with some heat. I couldn't. With something, and you know, just so you guys know, with the kick picks, these are actually shoes that Steven and I own. I'm excited to see what my guy brings out next week.
Oh no, yeah, absolutely. All right, time to get into these albums.
Yes, it is.
All right. First up, we got Azazi Gibson, You Reap What You Sow. And actually, been following this man's career for a long time, since 2014, when I was actually introduced to him from his first project called Backwards Books Reloaded. This was like, you know, and just to see his progress and his growth now is pretty dope. You got about a good solid 17 tracks on here, 45 minutes. And the reason why, like I said, I'm loving his growth, he got Freddie Gibbs on this joint. So that lets you know, like, you know, anytime when you're a rapper, takes time.
It does, and you're getting those collabs and building out those relationships. But on topic, but kind of off topic, Freddie Gibbs has been like, did you see that shit with him and Benny this week?
Bro, they've been petty.
Benny had his girl chain on and then posted some pictures, and Freddie came back and he's like, nigga, call at me when your beer connect. Like, hey, all right, so like I'm just fucking I'm splintered everywhere today, but I'm just
it's saying, all good.
But
it's
that was good. That was hilarious no, that to was me because funny. They both that like they both had like they both were talking a shit. Like Benny was actually wearing the chain that they took off of Freddie Gibbs' girl's neck, which not condoning that, nor am I condoning the fact of anybody's inability to grow a beard that can't connect. I'm not, but I'm just gonna say it was funny as shit.
No,
like,
it really
and
was.
I really kind of you know I laughed a bit, but with this one, like you said, it was very soulful. I really enjoyed the production on it. Just like you said, as far as an artist actually growing, and he's going to be something that I feel like it's going to be more of a force to be reckoned with as he evolves as an artist. But overall, the Gibbs co-sign, that's not a small feat, you know, regardless as to whatever smut people are throwing on Gangsta Gibbs' name these days and everything. So what was actually one of some of your favorite songs on this one?
One of my favorite songs was Serenade, Love Jones, Phoenix, and Brown Skin.
Okay, Brown Skin, I like that Love Jones also.
Smooth. That was really smooth though. So just to see, you know, just to see his progression on this album, like, you know, it was really dope though, you know. Without having it in rotation again,
I didn't really have any major takeaways from it, but I definitely feel like it was skill showed there. So
yes, absolutely.
Contrary to what DJ Clue said, it wasn't any of the ABC rapping. It wasn't Lyrical Miracle or anything of that effect. So I enjoyed it, and I think that he did his thing on that, and I'd like to see how he goes for the years to come.
Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean... just made that one brief, short, and simple and sweet, though. Gibson, you reap what you sow. You know what I'm saying? So let us know if you haven't checked it out. You know, go check out the project. All right, moving on. Now, this project right here, I actually enjoyed this one a lot. This was my first introduction on them. The Homies, It's a Lot Going On. And definitely, this album really did had a lot going on, but in a good way.
Definitely
in a good way.
I
enjoyed this album a lot, where to the point I had to add it into my collection. Like, for real, 14 tracks. It was in and out. That's what I liked about it. 38 minutes. Okay. It was like, they were straight getting to the point. The intro. Love the opening track. Mm-hmm. Out There, Thirsty, Situational, Topic was one of my favorite, Shake, Face It was hard to me. Like, that was hard.
Okay.
Before You Depart with Mars, and if y'all don't know who Mars is, she's super talented, have an ill voice, you know, so y'all gotta go check her out. She's super dope, like, for real, super dope. SMS, Yours, Trouble, and Penelope. Like, I actually like the Penelope ask for that to be a closer on that album.
Okay.
And it's like, you know, it's four of them. So, I mean, like, you're getting a blend of, rapping, some melodic flow, and even a little bit of singing in that.
I love your passion about this project.
Yeah,
so
man.
Would you say that this one is actually going to possibly in the runnings for your top list for the end of the year?
You're
really excited about this.
Yeah, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to go on record and say yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
I don't know where I'm going to place it though, but yeah, it's in the top 10 for sure for albums 2022 by far. Like this one, I really, really enjoyed this album from beginning to end. Like, it
and
was
that's
dope.
All we can ask for. Like yourself, I really love the creative direction. If you guys see the album art for the cover art, I should say, they kind of took on more of those Reservoir Dogs type of, like, look with the ties and the white shirts and, like, the black suits. So that was
absolutely
really iconic in a sense that, like, how tapped in they were. But just to piggyback off of what Steve said, you get, like, a real smorgasbord of different type of creative melodic sounds on this album. So I really enjoyed how they laid it all out and how they all came together. So I definitely recommend, if you guys haven't heard of The Homies, or, you know, if you guys have, but definitely go ahead and check it out. It's a lot going on, and it really is a lot going on this project.
Yeah.
So you guys should definitely go ahead and check it out.
Absolutely. Moving on, we got my main man, been on the scene for a long time.
Yes,
super
Ellie
long
Dollar.
Time. Ellie Dollars. 3 Series. And you know what? This project was real smooth. very, very smooth.
Hell yeah. I feel like the little girl opening her Christmas present. Hell yeah.
When she was opening up.
Hell yeah. Because I swear he delivered on every single track.
Oh, no,
and
yeah,
me
did.
Being like an avid member or being like an outstanding member of the Beam team. Steve knows, like, I swear I've been an official cardholder, been like just an actual like Beamer aficionado for a while.
Yeah,
she has. Just a whole enthusiast.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that he's just that passionate about the three series as I am, because a lot of people, just side note, a lot of people like really put a lot of hype on those sevens just simply because of the fact that, oh, it's a seven series.
Right.
Beamer. But those things are trash. Like, I promise you, those are the granddaddy video versions. Like, either a 3 or 5, you can get a lot. And if you got the 6, I'm not upset with the 6s either. But it's a lot of different things. That's a whole different subject. But just to come in contact and the fact that he's putting attention on the 3 series. Because you get, you know, we remember that time everybody had to have a Cutlass or a Regal or something like that.
Yeah.
Those were like, but, and then even down to like the Hondas and everything, you have these different car clubs. But it's a whole new wave where like you got these kids fixing up these Beamers and everything.
Yeah.
And I really love to see it. And Les is just that passionate. He's just as much of an enthusiast about the Beamers and the 3 series, particularly to be exact, as I am. The project was very, very clean from the first song to the last song. I didn't take absolutely anything off because he didn't have any interludes or anything like that. I enjoyed everything. Les, you know, Ellie Dollars. I call him Les, but
right. Ellie, we all call Ellie Dollars.
Like, I had the opportunity to check out his store when I went out to Houston.
Oh,
lucky. Yeah, it was definitely a steak and shrimp. You know, we really tapped in with that guy. And for those of you guys that haven't heard of him, he's been, like Steve said, he's been doing it for a while.
Yes, for
Houston
a long
native,
time.
Very clean cut. Yes. Very much on the smooth melodic, you know, like very, very good sound. And I promise you, like, it ain't, I'm not going to shame you right now, but it's not just this one. If you get into this one and you like, you feel this one is very smooth, I highly recommend that you go on ahead and undig, you know, surface some more of his gems that he has, his previous projects and everything, because he's been putting it on for a while.
Man, like for me, I'd still go back and listen to that. I think it's called either E35 or the E36 mixtape. Man, like that one, Midnight Club. I mean, I could just keep going. Like, I've been a fan of this dude since, like, you know, the early days of that Piff and Live mixtape, me and my little brothers. Actually, my little brothers put me on to him. So,
okay,
I mean, yeah.
Shout out to the little bro.
Yeah, shout out to my brother.
All right, shoot him out.
Yeah,
say
yeah,
name.
Yeah,
you
know, Devo, Quincy.
Right,
yeah,
Devo, Quincy, okay,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, man. So, I mean, they definitely put me on, though. But a track was just super smooth on this one. Is, man, like, I actually enjoyed this. Love the,
that sample.
On game. And for y'all don't know, this sample.
Baby, come to me.
Yeah, that's, man, this is smooth. I could put you up on gauge.
Yeah. That was really one of my favorites also. Okay,
oh, yeah.
Check y'all, see.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
That's smooth. I could put you up on gauge.
Man, I mean, dude, like, not disappointed, man, though, but I mean, I'm happy for him, just, you know, in regards to him getting his store, you know. And that's what it means. Like, yo, you don't have to be a big name artist to really thrive in, like, you know, him, Currency. Like, you have a lot of others that's just showing you that, like, you know, like, you don't necessarily
have that core following.
Right, like, you have that core following and you know what you're doing. So, I mean, shout out to you, man.
Yeah, like, he's definitely doing it. And, like I said, I really can't praise what he's doing enough, like, in the sense of just building and just being authentic. I don't get any of the whole, you know, first and foremost, he's actually from Houston.
Yeah.
I don't get any of the false flagging vibes from him. So,
yeah, me
and he has
all.
Some real ones that really tap in with him. Like, you know, from Currency to Larry June
late
to Bombay.
Oh, yeah.
Bumby,
late great Mac Miller. So, y'all got to think, like, when everybody was coming up, in them early days from like 08, 9, 10, 11, 12, he was rapping with all of them, doing collabs with all of them. So, I mean, he's he's very respected. So I mean, like, brother, like, you always did your thing, and in my personal opinion, you never miss with any project, man. So for y'all, if y'all don't know, go ahead and check out Three Series. All right, last up before we get into the classic corner. Oh man, this one was, I ain't gonna front.
No. This has been a moment I've been waiting for since the project dropped.
Well, you know what though, but I'm actually happy before we get into the project though, you know. Larry, shout out to you, man. Like, seeing you got that deal with Empire. And yes. You know what? Empire, they're not afraid. I like Empire because they're not afraid to take a risk on an artist. And, you know, they didn't sign people from Mozzie, even upcoming rapper Yellow Hill from California. So, I mean, they be willing to take the risk on the people. And they just seen the buzz that he's been getting from, like, since his early days, and for him to get signed to that, though, I mean, that was dope, though.
But, and the fact that he didn't need it, though.
Yeah, he
the
really did.
The fact
didn't.
That all of his
he
projects really was just released on the free mine.
Yeah.
And
not to mention, too, he was already an entrepreneur. My man got his own Bubba store out there in San Fran.
Oh, my God. Man, I just can't use the uncle word in front of him. I know that's what he prefers for the younger ones to call but Larry June, I don't know where to start with this guy because he's really one of my personal favorites. It's just the authenticity behind him and just the fact of how smooth he is, how unapologetic he is. I've seen the guy live. I had the opportunity to see him out here. And when he came out here, I'll be so real. This was a little bit earlier in his career, and he was we just had the Port of San Francisco coming out and everything. But I actually was able to get the Very Peaceful. Like, they were selling the Very Peaceful CDs in person and everything. So that's one thing.
And
but
you
I'm
know
just,
what? And sorry to cut you off, though, but I remember when he came out here, and that's why I respect his growth so much, because I remember when he came out here, I heard about the show, though, but I remember tickets were only being $20.
They were $20, and they played the fuck out of, like, the thing is that even at the time that Larry was, this is just my moment to, like, kind of, like, not my moment, but just to, like, give you guys a little bit of insight on this man's work ethic and his level of integrity about his craft, is, like, when he came out here for that $20 show, the behind-the-scenes situation was the venue was fucking trash. It was no bigger than probably the average living room, right? Average living room combined with dining room, right? The venue. Then they had, not only was the venue, like, really, really trash, they also had, like, some form of, like, a karaoke type of, like, PA system that they had him flowing off. They had him actually flowing over his own track. So you guys, like, people kind of, like, sit there and talk about Wiz Khalifa and everything, but this shit was, like, 15 times over. And us looking on, and then not to mention, like, they had, like, weirdo shit going on in the venue where it's like somebody's uncle was frying fish and all that shit, and it's like our clothes.
Damn, that's crazy.
It was weird as fuck, right?
What?
But I'm telling you, this is the thing about it, is that Larry bought his son out, right? Uh-huh. And he got on stage and he was like, I just want my son to know that, like, you know, I'm doing this right now because of the fact that I bought my son out, and I want to let him know that we don't quit. And he let us know
that the venue itself might have been
on shit, but he still came out and rocked over 10 songs for us, like, with all of the other things, because I've been places where you had janky ass promoters,
right?
And the artists were going ahead and take that moment to be a prima donna, which you can't blame them.
Right.
In all honesty, like, shit, and all of those type of, with everything going on in that show, uh-huh, I wouldn't have personally blamed him if he didn't perform, but he did. And the fact that he did just really gave him so much more of a top tier type of spot in my book. And it's just so fucking amazing. It's so phenomenal to witness his growth and just really be able to, like, see his come up, because the next time I saw him was, like, from that particular venue. I saw him there, like, real intimate, got the picture with him and all that shit. Next time I saw him was fucking Day in Vegas. And it was, like, completely, like, you got the whole fucking crowd, like, thousands of people singing the lyrics. And the fact that he's just, like, his marketing, how genius everything is with him. Like,
yes,
from him branding,
yes,
not only the color orange, but the actual orange fruit.
Yes.
So, like, Larry fucking June, like, let's just go on ahead and get into it. This project, I didn't take anything away. I'm gonna be real though. The only thing I did take away was the fucking interlude from Uncle Herm. Just like, you know, don't get me wrong, respect Uncle Herm, listen to him a couple of times, but I'm still a shuffle girl. I like throwing my shit on playlists, and I got my own Larry June playlist. And I don't want Uncle Herm's track coming up in the middle of my playlist.
Right.
Appreciate the game. Good job, Uncle Herm. But I took that off. Outside of that, I took that one off, and I took the other one where the other interlude where the dude was talking about Larry coming on the blade with the spaceship and all that. And it was
Wallow, Tools of the Game.
And I appreciated that also. But every fucking song, my favorite song like on the project was Another Day Part 2, because if you know about Another Day Part 1, you know. But Another Day Part 2, and then
this.
Not to mention the collabs that my guy got on this project. Not only did he get 2 Chainz, we got Sid on here from the internet.
Duckworth from Cali.
I even liked
the one with Currency, and I liked the one that Alchemist did with him.
Oh my god!
Good god!
Yes.
No, but yes. this, if he had a marketing team, I swear I could hear this on the radio. Like, absolutely, this is a radio cut for real.
Let it breathe a little.
Oh no, yeah, I got to.
This is the best I heard Sid.
Right, in a long time. I mean, we talking facts though. This is the best I heard her on in a long time. But this, yes, absolutely. If I was an A&R, yo, I'll tell her, yo, this is your single right here, bro. This is the one right here.
This is the one. That I'll Make Time. Right. Like that, I'll Make Time. That shit hard. But every song on here, like, if you guys are tapped in, y'all tapped in. We're not saying anything to you.
Right.
But for those that aren't, yeah. This one, Larry really came up in. And this is actually contrary, because one of the things with Larry, too, on being a Larry June, like, following him and everything. Right. There was one point in time where my guy was, like, releasing projects, like, every 3 months. Like, back to back, right? And I get it. But before, we couldn't even necessarily digest one project before we got the other. And I appreciate whoever kind of let him know, like, hey, man, like, let it breathe a little bit. And then this one was definitely anticipated because we haven't heard from him in a while. Mm-hmm. And I was able to appreciate it so much more and be able to, like, really receive it because it's not following 2 other projects.
Right.
Where
exactly.
You end up, like, you know, having some mid tracks and just like, oh, man, well, I don't know if I like that Trappy Larry, because I don't like Trappy Larry. I like the smooth shit. But this one, like, I enjoyed every song from Spaceships on the Blaze. So, great job to you, Larry June.
Nah,
he's definitely I stand, and I used to, like, I really, really used to stand, like, on the fact of, like, you know, hey, if you don't like Drake, you don't like Drake, da-da-da-da-da, you know, whatever, and I did, and I'm, like, one of those people, too. It's, like, I don't care how much I like you, I don't care how much I care about you, how much, like, you've done and in reputation, and it's, like, yeah, I appreciate what you used to do, but when you start doing corny shit, you start doing corny shit, and that's where it's, like, I'll go ahead and say, Larry don't do corny shit, it's like I can go on ahead and hang my hat on him. He's really a stand-up guy.
Yeah.
Unlike, you know, others. And it's like when they do it, they do it. And I'll go on ahead and call it out. I'm not about to sit here and try to justify that shit. So Spaceships on a Blade.
Please do.
Yeah, definitely tap in on that one. We got the from Larry June. We got the 3 series from Ellie Dollars.
A lot going on from the homies.
Right.
And we got You Reap What You Sow from Azazi Gibson. So, I mean, like, I ain't gonna front. This week was actually a pretty good week in music because, for one, of course, we know Larry June, and he's getting the buzz. So, but the fact that we was able to touch on artists that a lot of people don't know about, and just people just listening to us and our platform, they're gonna be able to get a chance to tap in with these artists and to see what they're about. And we're not gonna lie, we're not gonna stir you wrong. Probably, like, the lowest tier out of those 4 was probably Azazi. But even that project alone wasn't even bad either, though. So, I mean, honestly, I have to say this week was a pretty damn good week in music. Like,
it
for
made
real.
Our job a lot easier.
Yeah, it really did.
Yes, and that pretty much concludes our Check the Rhyme segment. But
absolutely.
You know, without further ado.
Let's get into it. Let's get into this classic corner.
I'd like to return to the classic.
All right. This one don't need no further introduction. I'm going to just let it ride out.
Easy, but you should.
Bitch, shut the fuck up. Get the fuck out of here. Yo, Dre.
What's up?
Give me a funky ass bass line.
1988. Mm. November 26th. Mm. The debut. Eazy-E. Eazy does it. Shout out to my uncle, because other than my name, Steven, my family call me E because of this album. Like, for real. They call me E. I'm getting my bag right now. Well, I'm Eazy-E. I got business galore. You may have a lot of business, but I got much more.
Oh, Steve had to break that out for us.
Motherfuckers go slugging the booth, cause I'm a hip-hop thug, son. And if you heard dope, man.
Oh, shit. Getting stupid, because I know we're getting our hustle and flow on right now.
I give them up. Eight ball sipping. Come on, man.
Every classic corner moving forward gotta have that type of energy. I love this.
Man.
Yes.
And this joint right here, my dad and my uncle. I played this all the time. That's why. Yeah. This is the reason why I'm a fan of West Coast. This album right here. Man, y'all don't know, y'all about to find out today.
Man, I don't think they heard you. Won't you tell them what your name is?
My name is Eazy, yeah, this is true.
Keeping your attention is what I'm gonna do.
Hardcore.
Yo, I can never be soft. Ask them on my definition, say the boy go
off.
Building up momentum with a touch of my rhyme. Suckers stay away because, yo, they know the time. Quiet on the suckers I'm about to begin. And if you didn't hear me, boy, I'll tell you again.
My name is Eazy.
Or just call me
E.
Oh, shit. Hold on. So Eazy-E is what powers you up to take you to that next God level of, fuck, I did not know this. I've never seen you this hype over any of these classic corners.
Hey, the reason why, though, because, I mean, this album, honestly, like, this album bring not only the nostalgic memory, but this was like really my first introduction to hip hop because my dad and my uncle would play the hell out of this album. Like, I mean, like all the time. And it's just like, you know, like as I got older, like I found myself going back to this album, but I never understood why though. But when I got older and me and my dad had a conversation, and, like, my dad was telling me, he was like, yeah. He was like, the reason why, because I asked him, I was like, why did y'all give me the nickname E? I was like, or, like, because I have two nicknames. I'm not going to say the other one on air, though, because y'all know. Y'all hate, I don't like it when people call me that one. Only certain people get that special privilege to call me that other nickname, and I'm not going to say it, though.
Okay, don't. We definitely respect boundaries
here. This one right here, the reason why my dad was just all like, I just remember just like you just being a baby, just turning one. And every time he told me, like when he turned on Eazy-E, like I would literally fall asleep to that. He said, okay. I used to be a crying baby fool, but when he put on the Eazy-E, he was all like, it was just soothing.
It was soothing.
Yeah. It was soothing to me. I just like, it's just so crazy though. But, this album, the reason why I chose this album, because, guys, you got to think. We had NWA, right after that, we get NWA Straight Outta Compton, though. But this was more so a formally introduction to everybody as a whole, from Cube, Ren, Yella, and just even Dre just in his hungriest form, just being a producer, making that transition, trying to get out them clubs and to really do this music shit. And for this album to go 2 times platinum with no radio airplay, this album speaks a lot. And not only that, though, this is the first time we ever seen, you know, a person, you know, just really rapping just because he, and he even said it himself, he didn't want to be a rapper. That was never his thing. But his friends pushed him to become a rapper because they loved the way he sound and his voice. Mm-hmm. His voice was just something unique and something that we never seen before or never even heard of before. Mm-hmm. You know, so I mean, from the breakdown from the albums, Still Talking, Nobody Move, Ruthless Villain, Two Hard Motherfuckers, okay, Boys in the Hood, cult classic. Mm-hmm. Really, really a cult classic. Easy Does It, my favorite. We Want Easy, Easier Than Done. Radio, No More Questions, I'm gonna Break It Down. And even just him just talking his shit on the last track of the album, Chapter 8, Verse 10. You know what I'm saying? So it's just for this album, just really just for me, it has to be a top 100 or even just possibly a top 50 of greatest hip hop albums of all time, because you can see the work that everybody that was behind the scenes that they put into this album. So they made sure that if this album is going to pop, we all going to pop.
And, absolutely.
And, yeah, and really that's what really happened. Like, you know, everybody from Dre, Yella, Ren, DOC, and even a member that don't nobody talk about, Arabian Prince, like everybody was hands on. And even just the fact that, you know, we saw it in the movie, like he didn't want to do it. And then Dre being in the studio with him all fucking night doing
getting
all those
sounds,
takes.
Getting the sounds right and everything. And
there you go.
I'm gonna hit you again. I took over the board for a second because right. That's where. Okay, so huge props to you, Steve, for selecting this project, because Eazy-E, like, just ultimately, like, if we wouldn't have had Eazy-E, let's just be honest, like, as far as NWA, we're bringing Dre forward and just fueling, putting the batteries in the back of Bone Thugs and Harmony and even Ice Cube. Like, it's just, he's just really the common denominator of West Coast legends, regardless if you want to acknowledge it or not. This project right here, not only did we get just so much raw production from Dr. Dre, but that sound, like you said, from Eazy-E. And I've never, like, I've been sitting right here next to Steven, you know, for the past few months. And we've kind of, like, you know, pretty much Venus and Serena, like, gone back and forth on, like, serving these classic corners. But I've never seen this man so excited. So he said top 100 or top 50, but I'll even step out on the limb of saying this is probably like one of his top 10 favorite albums
absolutely.
Of all time.
Absolutely.
And I just love the fact of how instrumental that is for his childhood. Eazy-E, you know, there's really not much that I can personally say that Steven hasn't already said without it being redundant. But I'll just go on ahead and say this was an amazing pick. And just really like that iconic sound, and just so much of what was given to the culture is pretty much a product of this album of the Eazy-E Ruthless Branch.
Yes.
So I really thank you for surfacing this one, and you know, a correct button. Won't touch your boards again.
Oh no!
But you know, great choice, great pick.
Oh man, thank you. Like, I really, really, really appreciate that. Like for real. Like, I mean, this is just awesome for me though. Like, you know.
Yes.
So I mean, coming down to a close, you know, had pretty much fun doing this one. This one was
not
great.
Pretty much fun. It was fucking fun, man.
No, yeah, no, it really was. It really was. It really was. So I mean, you guys, thank you for supporting. Thank you for, you know, rocking out with us. You know, you can find us on Instagram and Twitter. You know, go ahead and leave us a comment, follow, go check out our page and everything. We're all up on all platforms, and we're gonna be able to drop a YouTube visual this week though. So go ahead and be out on the lookout for that though. So I mean, gonna be very, very exciting as progression and as coming forward throughout these next couple months, and just all our day ones. Thank you for following, rocking with us, and staying with us. And also to the new ones, we appreciate y'all. Go ahead, absolutely, tell a friend that tells another friend. If you don't like what we said, leave a comment. If you fuck what we said,
leave a comment.
You know, plain and simple. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, that's it. That's all I can say.
Check us out at Lace Rhymes on all your major social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok as well. And definitely tell a friend, and YouTube as well. Tell a friend that tells another friend that tells another friend. And this is Nikki B. Thank you so much for listening. You know, the revolution can't continue without your participation.
Right.
And this is me signing off.
All right, and this your boy Skeeter Steve. Lace Rhymes, we out.